Dear listeners, this podcast is created by the Linguistov team.
Order a free English lesson with us at www.linguistov.ru.
And if you want to share your opinion and ideas regarding our discussions, you can email us at info@linguistov.ru. Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, how are you today?
I'm good, thank you for asking, and how are you?
I'm very well. What's wrong with your voice? Oh,
it's nothing, it's just... I'm a bit sick, but nothing serious.
You're a bit sick? When are you not sick? Tell me.
Well, it's St. Petersburg, and it's November. What do you expect from me? It's a fantastic place, come on.
Yeah, it is a fantastic place.
And it's even romantic, I mean...
Well... I don't
how
know.
Can you not be? How can you not be sick when it's November?
What can be more romantic than
sneezing and coughing?
Yes, in November, in a beautiful city.
I always liked flies because of their look, as if they are, as if they have a
plotting
great
something.
Plan.
Yeah.
when they wrap their legs.
Mm-hmm.
You think that they've got a great plan.
Maybe they are going to, how do you call it? They plan to take over the world.
Maybe.
It's
who knows?
It's a long-term plan, but maybe it will work.
It's been billions of years. billions of years.
But maybe it's worth it, you know.
It's worth it, yeah. How they say, the slower you get, the safer you'll be.
Yes. True. Exactly. So I guess maybe there are some colonies of flies, and they are plotting something to kidnap. They're plotting revenge. Yeah, for a million flies who are being killed all over the planet.
Right.
And so maybe they kidnap our scientists and force them to work on some kind of weapons.
It's okay, we already introduced ourselves. Hi,
yeah.
This is Landish.
Yeah, and this is Aisha, so as usual. And
yeah. When it's summer, and especially when the weather's good,
mm-hmm.
you don't really feel like sitting at home or working or, you know, doing something useful for the planet. You want to go out and enjoy the sunny weather, enjoy the fresh air.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did it yesterday, or even if you're going to do it tomorrow, you still don't feel like, you know, wasting your time at home.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's autumn, I just, you know, I kind of calm down. I don't feel like being outside, and I feel comfortable sitting at home,
mm-hmm.
on the sofa, and that's why I think that autumn is the most productive season for me, and in all aspects of life.
Okay.
What about you? Do you have a favorite season except summer? I really believe that if the weather is hot, you have to be somewhere on the beach.
Yeah.
with a sparkling ocean on the horizon, and if you're not on the beach, and if you don't have any salty water near you, then I don't see the point of hot weather.
It's the waste of hot
it's
weather.
It's a waste of temperature. It's a bit discouraging
mm-hmm.
time of year for me when you realize that you're still here.
And the beach is somewhere over there.
Yeah, and somebody's on the seashells.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well... I have this strange relationship with my dentist.
I like the beginning. I guess that's a good introduction to kind of a detective story. Or I had this strange relationship with my dentist. Every time I came, he gave me that strange look. I could not resist the temptation of coming again.
Yes.
So what kind of relationship do you have with your dentist?
Maybe should I leave it at that? such a suspense and.
But you know.
Intrigue.
I'm already.
Suspended.
On the hook. I already want to hear the whole story.
Yeah. Well, there is nothing to hear actually.
Is it a he or a she?
It's a he.
How old is he?
Well, like in his late, no, in his early 30s, I guess. But so he's married.
Really young.
Pretty young, but he's married and he has a daughter.
Well, so?
okay, but no, it's not that. I mean,
that brings you this tint of depression, you know, the sadness. But he's mad and he has a daughter.
But you can't.
I already imagine him sitting next to you and saying, "But I'm married. I have a daughter."
Oh, and suddenly a detective story turned into a soap opera.
Right. And you are looking somewhere, not at him, but through him, mm-hmm. piercing him, and like, I knew it.
You lack some romance in your life.
I do. You can say that. Some tragedy.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, sometimes it can inspire.
It can, mm-hmm. certainly.
Mm-hmm. So no, nothing tragic here, except for, you know, the state of my teeth from time to time. But it's just because I visit him very often. Like 7 times a year, I think, 6 or 7 times a year.
So you do take care of your teeth.
I do, I try to. So, and today I'm going to visit him again. I think that he's tired of me. He thinks that, I don't know, he's probably soon is going to block his phone and, I don't know, to move away from the city. not to hear me and not to see me anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the process of... fixing my teeth as well, as you already know, but in my case the dentist is a woman,
mm-hmm.
but a very funny one actually. She's in her late 20s, mm-hmm. I think maybe 29, maybe 30,
mm-hmm.
and she's quite pretty, and her personality is not the one of a dentist. I mean, she's too sensitive, too emotional. And in most cases, I have to calm her down, not her.
Oh my God.
She always tells me when I, you know, show some pain on my face, she's like, I can't work in such conditions. I can't work when you're in pain. I'm like, well, it's your job. You have to. I'm sorry, but it's life. Or some other time she'd say, relax. I'm like, are you kidding me? How can I relax? So in most cases I have to calm her down and say everything's fine, I survived. Well, look at my face, look at my teeth. Yes, I'm crying, yes. But the pain will go.
Yeah. A811 road between two towns in Scotland was suffering from too many speeding drivers breaking the 30 miles per hour speed limit. In an April 2013 meeting of the local council, the issue of traffic calming measures were debated. But what appeared on the road a few weeks ago was a surprise to residents. Rather than straight, even lines demarcating the direction of traffic, residents and drivers on this road were presented with wiggly white lines that veered from side to side. Rather than it being a mistake, the look of the lines was planned. The aim is to trick drivers into thinking that the road surface is uneven and that they should slow down. But the optical illusion seems less than convincing. The theory behind it is sensible, even if the way it was carried out wasn't. A study by Leeds University found that vertical shifts in the carriageway, which the road markings were meant to mimic, reduce average driving speed by more than any other suggested traffic calming measures, including narrowing the width of the road. Of course, the problem now is that Stirling Council's illusion, so this town's illusion has been exposed. The strange paintwork has drawn the world's attention and has become something of a tourist attraction. Driver's attention may be on the road, but not on the other cars passing by. Have you ever...
Well, of course I have.
Okay.
Well,
further questions asked.
Well, talking about the exceeding the speed limit, I think it's a bad violation,
mm-hmm.
actually, because according to the statistics, most of the accidents were caused by exceeding the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
So it's statistics. It's a proven fact. But in Russia, it's not possible not to exceed the speed limit because in most cases, the speed limit is like 60 kilometers per hour, which is ridiculous if there are no residential areas around.
Even in that case,
you are becoming the reason for the mm-hmm. accident. Mm-hmm. If you are not going with the flow,
mm-hmm.
with the car flow, mm-hmm. if you're going too slow, then you're becoming the one who causes this accident.
Mm-hmm.
So according to the Russian traffic rules, that's mm-hmm. in most cases absolutely not logical. But Scotland is not Russia, so I guess they are taking very effective measures with this optical illusion thing.
Yeah, you see.
Would you like to see that?
I would. Well, I would like to go to Scotland.
So. Anyways.
Yeah.
For any reason.
Yeah, sorry.
I am against cameras,
mm.
But I think, why don't they install cameras as they do in Russia?
I know that we here use them, those type of cameras. Is it like a worldwide practice?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, in the whole world, the cameras are not movable.
Oh, okay.
So the drivers are pretty much aware where the cameras are installed.
Okay.
At the traffic lights.
Our policemen are more cunning.
But our policemen are more cunning and, you know, they are just evil.
Yeah, it's true.
And for some reason, they hide these cameras in the bushes so that nobody sees that there is a camera. So what's wrong with, why not just, you know, put it in an open place, in an open space?
Mm-hmm.
So the driver knows that there is a camera, so he does not exceed the speed limit.
Mm-hmm.
But our policemen hide it because they want the drivers to exceed this speed limit.
It might be some kind of a, you know, a human nature that we want others to fail.
We want others to suffer.
Yeah.
So, and what do the drivers do? They basically buy these radars, anti-radars, or how are they called?
Yeah.
And these anti-radars spot where the cameras are. So the drivers are informed that they are not supposed to exceed the speed limit here in this area.
I mean, it's so,
so it's so... a kind of a competition between drivers. And who is more cunning?
Yeah. I mean, there are so many useless, pointless actions.
Exactly. There are so many problems. In every smallest city of Russia, there is poverty, hunger, crimes. But our policemen are busy hiding cameras. So that drivers don't see them.
Exactly.
By the way, especially Tatarstan, in St. Petersburg, they are not that cunning. I mean, probably they don't have that much time to hide the cameras. In Tatarstan, I came to the conclusion that the police in Tatarstan is the most evil one. So they, especially on the road from Chelny to Kazan,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
This radar never stops. It just beeps all the way. I think, you know, another reason is, you know, before these cameras, our policemen had a very important task. They controlled the speed of the drivers and they could stop the drivers and they could give them a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But now they don't have this task at all because everything is controlled by cameras, especially in the city.
Mm-hmm.
So what do they have to do? They have nothing else to do rather than the cameras from one place to another place.
How okay.
There's nothing left, you know. What's so else?
Then, yes.
They just don't know what they can do.
Yeah,
they feel so useless. Everything is now controlled by the machines.
What hand signals should I avoid when traveling abroad? When you are trotting the globe, it's important to know when to keep your hands to yourself. In parts of Latin America, West Africa, Iran, and Sardinia, a thumbs up doesn't mean, hey, good job. It's more akin to flipping someone the bird. A friendly thumbs up has landed lots of unwitting travelers on the wrong end of angry glares. You know, write it down for future, because it's so...
Of course, for future reference, yeah. I already did.
Especially Iran. The OK sign. In many countries, the OK sign is anything but OK. In the Middle East, it is a threat. In Turkey and Germany, it's basically it basically means you are a jerk. In Brazil, it's like giving someone the finger. The peace sign. If your palm faces outward, the V sign can symbolize peace. But in the UK, if you make the mistake of turning your palm inward.
I'm already practicing.
You're practicing.
Yeah.
It means quite the opposite. A ruder version of take a hike.
Okay.
If you're even in a pub and want to order a pair of drinks, don't flash the bartender two fingers. You might accidentally order yourself a knuckle sandwich.
Oh my god. In the UK.
In the UK, yes.
Okay, got it.
Then, an open hand. Extending your arm and exposing your palm may seem like a cordial way to wave hello, but in Greece, it's not so cordial. It is a sign of disrespect. Centuries ago, the Byzantine Empire shamed criminals by painting their faces with black cinder, ash, dirt, and dung. Today, an extended open hand basically means you want to spread this concoction on your foe's face.
Oh, man.
So, you shouldn't do that in Greece, yeah? Then, sign of the horns. Horns?
Sign what? Horns?
Horns, like you say, like...
Oh, yes, yeah, rock sign.
Yeah, rock sign. Yeah. Horns are great if you want to tell someone to rock on. But find an alternative if you are in the Caucasus, Italy, Greece, or Spain. Over there, devil horns mean your loved one is a cheater. That's because during the Middle Ages, men with cheating wives were shamed by donning horns.
Oh, man, I can get in trouble. I like this sign.
What sign do you like?
The horn sign and the middle finger.
The middle finger is absolutely a must.
Yeah, of course. It's an answer to all of the questions.
True.
And I know that in the United States, if you smoke a cigarette and if you blow smoke into somebody's face, in Russia, this gesture means piss off.
Mm-hmm.
But in America, it means I want to have sex with you.
Oh.
For real, you can check it out.
Yeah, next time I'm in the United States, I
will
check it.
I mean, you can first check it out on the internet, I mean.
Okay. Not in practice.
I do not suggest you doing it right the first evening you are in the United States.
Well, it depends how the evening goes.
I agree. It depends how much you drink.
Yes.
And it depends what you smoke. There are a lot of factors.
Yeah. When you have a lesson on Skype, not video lesson, do you sometimes use gestures?
I always use gestures, even when I talk on the phone. I sometimes feel that my ancestors are Brazilians or Spanish or Italians, maybe, because I'm way too emotional and I use gestures a lot, even when I talk on the phone. It's the generational thing.
So that they are used to bad phone connection.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
I think in their youth, the connection was left much to be desired, and now they can't get used to a better connection. My mom always speaks on the phone very loud, and my dad always says that her friend could hear her without the phone.
on a phone, I usually have a piece of paper and a pen. It's like always with me. So when I explain a person how to get somewhere on the phone, so I don't see this person and this person doesn't see me, I usually draw. So I explain and simultaneously I draw like the road, yeah, where to go and where this building is. It was always like that. For example, when I worked for this German company and I had to explain how to get to our office, and it was always like that. So
why didn't you just draw one and use the old drawing for all occasions?
No, it's not.
But you always drew...
yeah, the new one.
The new one.
Yeah. I don't know. It was not, you know, the matter of the result. So what I got is...
It's the process.
It's the process, yes.
If I describe somebody on the phone to you, do you actually start... drawing this person?
I could, yeah.
So I'm like telling you about my friend, and I can say, okay, she's quite pretty.
Yeah, okay.
White set eyes, quite a big nose, okay. And you already start drawing it.
I'm actually taking a piece of paper and a pen right now.
Short hair, so it's like photo robot.
Yeah.
Some time ago, I made friends with one blind girl. She lives in Kronstadt.
Mm-hmm.
And we met like twice, I think, because now she studies in St. Petersburg. So she comes here every day from Kronstadt to St. Petersburg, which is about a 40-minute drive. And then the underground, and then some walking distance. So it's quite an adventure, even for a person who can't see, but... I can't even imagine how she does it every day. And the first thing I started thinking about when I became friends with her is, how does she think? She has been blind since she was born. So basically it means that she doesn't have any visual images in her head at all.
Mm-hmm.
You understand?
Yeah.
And if you tell her, like, the sky, how does she imagine it to herself? Or if you tell her, like, you know, the grass is green,
yeah.
How does she imagine it? But the thing is, she's very intelligent, and she's very clever. When you talk to her, you would never think that she's blind. So that's what I can't understand. How does she, for example, what dreams does she see when she sleeps?
Did you ask her?
I'm not very comfortable asking these questions. Mm-hmm. We actually never talked about her blindness. We talked about everything but that. But this is what I'm curious about. It's not that I'm, you know, I feel sorry or, you know, it's just my curiosity.
Yeah.
I just want to know. Because I, for example, when I sleep, I see all my dreams are visual.
Mm-hmm.
I can't experience smells when I dream. Or I can't hear the voices when I dream. In most cases, I just see the pictures, the faces, the scenery, and the overall emotion, the overall mood, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently she can't see this visual dreams because she has never seen.
Mm-hmm.
How does she dream? What does she see? My... way of thinking is half visual, half abstract, like 50-50. What about you? You said that it's mostly visual, yeah?
It's mostly visual, yes.
And what about some abstract notions when you think of something that you can't imagine? is there nothing?
Usually works with associations and that type of things. I would say that it's like 95% visual. So
95%.
Yeah, it's like it has to be visual.
That's a lot. Do you understand that's a lot? That means that you can basically visualize everything.
Well, no, maybe not everything, but yeah, when you work on associations, you can visualize pretty much everything.
For example, I don't know, loneliness. So I imagine, I don't know, a lonely person sitting by the window with a glass of wine. And in my imagination, this is like, you know, a picture of a lonely person. Mm-hmm. So, but and I understand that there can be different variations mm-hmm. how to visualize this word. But some words are way too abstract to visualize them.
For example.
Well, linguistics, visualized linguistics.
Linguistics. I would say it's so it's, if it's a study of languages, so you can always base it on some letters.
Okay, assimilation.
Assimilation. It's so it's influence of one thing to another. You can also visualize it.
Okay. That's an epiphany for me. That's the discovery of the day.
Please go and check our website, which is www.linguisto.ru, and check our Facebook page and vk.com
page.
.com page, yes. And we have some merch in our group in vk.com, so you can check it out. And we also, I think that next week, we are going to finalize our Finnish Mystery competition.
Right. So how many? We have two more participants, actually. The one was yesterday and the second one was today.
Yeah, around 6 or 7, I think.
So that's a good number.
Yeah, I guess so. Mm-hmm. So, and what else do we have? We have a reality show, which is called English in 1 Month. Yep. You can check it out in our YouTube page.
The new webinar is coming soon.
Oh, great. Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay, so
and if you want to improve your English, please do not hesitate of contacting us and ordering a trial lesson, which is absolutely free with the best teachers on the internet, Landish and you're supposed to say
Asa. Yes, of course. Who else? She's the best.
Lots of books and discussions at www.linguistov.ru.